Chapter 19. Kryzak stood alongside a stone-hewn doorway in the midst of a temple ruin. Columns and rubble scored the grounds of what once was a fine work of man. Such ruins were scattered over the land of Nelsimbor. Many of them served as hideouts for the clerics of Barnabas, and many of them had secrets. Catacombs and caves lay below the surface of some, and others were portals from one to another. It was powerful and ancient magic the clerics of Barnabas had harnessed long ago to serve their will, to spread their destructive ways.
And there are only four of them guarding Nath Dragon?
Kryzak said. The young satyr nodded his head.
That is all, High Cleric. Only a few leagues away and heading south towards Morden,
it said, raking its hoof over the ground.
I can take you straight to them. We can stop them and capture them. But there is a price for our services.
Kryzak swung his war mace over his broad shoulder with one arm and took two steps forward. The satyr looked up at the man twice the size of him and swallowed.
What is your name?
Kryzak said.
Finlen.
And this price, little hoofed one?
He said.
What did you have in mind?
The satyr's thumbs rolled between his clasped fingers and his eyes bounced back and forth.
The dwarf, elf, woman, and the small dragon would suffice.
Ah! You think too much of yourself, horned rodent. What would you do with them?
We shall make a feast of them,
it said.
A fine dining.
Kryzak slung his mace into the dirt. The satyr hopped back.
Don't jest with me, satyr. Your legends only frighten children. Not the likes of me.
Kryzak poked the satyr with his mace.
What will you do with them?
The satyr cringed and said,
High priest, do you really care what we do with them?
Kryzak moved his head from side to side, and his thick neck cracked. He showed a toothy grin and jutted his chin out.
Gutsy, foolish, but shrewd.
Fine. Make a legendary pot of stew with them.
But you aren't getting a dragon,
Kryzak said. He then ran his mailed fist over the stone archway and muttered something. The satyr looked around. There was only Kryzak, him, and the moss-coated ruins.
Who are you talking to?
The satyr asked.
Stand back and you will see.
Kryzak backed up from the stone doorway. Two huge slabs of stone jutted from the ground, standing 12 feet tall, and another stone cut in a semicircle was laid over the tops of them, perfectly aligned. Kryzak slipped his gauntlets from his hands and dropped them to the ground. He rubbed his fingers together, kneeled, and stretched his arms out wide. Chin up, eyes closed, an incantation spewed from his lips.
Owen Bowen! Owen Bowen! Owen Bowen!
The tattoos on his bald head pulsated with life. The satyr stepped back, biting his nails. A swirl of dark colors filled the archway, and a gray mist rolled out and covered the grasses and the ground. The satyr couldn't see his hooves. His heart beat faster. His tiny horns tingled. He couldn't take his eyes from the archway, and time seemed to stop. A woman stepped through. She was tall, dark, and raven-haired. Her eyes were like black pearls. Kryzak didn't move, but his eyes popped open. A crease formed on his brow. The satyr fell to his knees. His gaze remained on the woman. Her eyes glossed over him, bringing a chill before falling on Kryzak.
"Rise, Kryzak,"
she said. Her voice was polished and commanding. Kryzak rose. His fingers twitched at his sides.
"I, priestess, I was not expecting your audience."
His strong voice trembled a little, shaken.
"It was not my desire to disturb you."
She sauntered through the mist, looking around with her arms folded over her robes. She was graceful and purposed when she moved. Finland felt his heart flutter. He feared her, yet was drawn to her.
"You've summoned much without my consultation, Kryzak. Did you think it would not escape my notice?"
she said.
"You must have tracked down many dragons, and so soon."
His feet didn't move, but he turned the best he could to face her.
"I have the greatest dragon of all in my grasp,"
he said.
"Oh?"
she said. She stepped in front of Finland and rubbed the hair between the horns on his head. His hoof pounded the ground.
"And how is that?"
"Nath dragon,"
he said.
"He sleeps."
Her fingers stopped and she turned.
"Tell me more,"
she said, stepping away. Finland felt his heart sink. His fingers stretched through the mist and after her.
"Oh, my queen, this satyr is my spy. And he's trailed them and heard their speech. Nath dragon slept months last time. They suspect he'll sleep just as long again. He'll change. They fear the change is bad for him. I suspect that is good for us."
A black tail rose out of the mist and struck Kryzak across the face. He was lifted from his feet and disappeared into the mist. The tail slithered under the fog and jerked Kryzak back to his feet by the neck. His face was red. Finland trembled, eyes searching the mist, backing away.
"What is that thing,
satyr?"
she said.
Yes,
Finland blurted out.
"Are you certain of this?"
Her eyes probed his. He could feel it in his bones.
"Every bit of it?"
"As certain as I am of my hoofed feet,"
he said, bowing.
"I can take you right to him, anything you please."
The black serpent tail lifted Kryzak farther from the ground. His feet dangled over the mist, and his fingers dug at the scales. He tried to speak, but couldn't. He was choking.
"I feel you've done well, Kryzak,"
she said.
"Possibly better than I hoped. Nath dragon is changing even sooner than expected."
She lowered him down and faced him eye to eye.
"Would you still die for me, Kryzak?"
His hard face dipped up and down.
"Good,"
she said, smiling a little. She gave his forehead a kiss. The tail squeezed his neck until his big body went limp. She flipped the body through the air and it disappeared through the swirling portal. Finland shook without control when she turned and faced him.
"What are you shaking for, faunish man?"
Why did you do that?"
he said.
You said he'd done well."
Her tail petted the hair between his horns, and she showed him an icy smile.
"And he had done well, but his part is over."
She coiled her tail around his waist and lifted him up to face her.
"No one is indispensable."
She checked her colorful nails.
"And I tired of him. Will you still help me?"
Finland nodded vigorously.
What would you have me do?"
She set him down. The tail patted his horned head.
"I want you to lead my servants. Do well and reap the rewards. Fail and suffer my disappointment."
We'll do.
He nodded fast.
"We'll do."
She walked away and stepped into the portal. But before she disappeared, she said,
"Come."
A big creature, like a man but with scales and black wings, followed. Finland gasped. He hadn't seen it there before. Something scaly and big as a pony brushed by Finland's feet. He jumped 4 feet off the ground. A big face with long whiskers turned at him with bright cat eyes. It licked its lips and bared its fangs. Finland froze. The feline fury followed Celine into the archway, and they disappeared from sight. He couldn't tell if he was thrilled or scared. His heart pumped like a racing horse's. He waited, pacing back and forth before the swirling archway. What was going to come through there next?
What do I do? What do I do?
A large figure stepped out of the archway and waded into the mist. Finland stopped pacing. The figure wore crimson cloth robes. Thick-hued arms emerged from the sleeves. A great scepter of dark metal was clutched in one hand. A horned metal helmet in the image of an angry bull covered its face. His eyes were dark behind the eyelids. Finland looked up at him and stepped backward.
Who are you?
Something snorted behind the mask. Finland stepped aside as the figure marched right past him. More figures emerged. Lizard men with spears and swords led small gray-scaled dragons on leashes. There were a dozen of them, sleek and black-winged. Bald-headed men with tattooed heads followed. Their robes were simple, their faces grim and hard. They carried clubs, maces, and flails. All in all, there were over a score of lizard men and acolytes. They formed ranks on both sides of the arches. The man in the bull mask stood at the end, leaving Finland alone facing the archway.
Awkward,
he muttered. He turned in time to see a great shadow emerge and swirl off the arch and come forward. He darted to the man in the bull mask. A dragon, bigger than him, appeared. Its long neck was dark copper, and streaks of black stretched all over its body. Its eyes were like fire, and its breath smelled of acid. It lumbered forward on soft feet bigger than two horses. A great terrifying beast. A lone figure sat saddled on its wingless back. A petite young woman, with a row of long white hair flowed from a mostly bald head. Jewels adorned her robes, which enhanced her figure. She sat perched high in the saddle with her arms folded on her waist.
My, she's pretty.
He combed the hair between his horns with his fingers. Her light eyes found his.
I am Marley, a priestess of Barnabas,
she said.
And you are?
Finland,
he said, stepping from behind the warrior.
Lead the way, Finland,
she said, chin up and eyes forward.
We have a sleeping dragon to catch.